The grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you this day as we look at Luke chapter 15. It's a lost chapter of the Bible, but we find it today in the Pew Bibles. It's right around on the large print version, which I lately need. It's found on page 1112. We're going to look especially at how these opening words of Luke chapter 15 shape the context for how we will hear these parables. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." In these parables of Luke chapter 15, there's such rich imagery that allows us, as we hear these parables, to think of ourselves at different spots in our life, maybe as a different character in the parable. Maybe, you know, you're the shepherd that counts the sheep and you realize one is missing and you have a heart of compassion for the one that is lost and you search until that one is found. Maybe at other points you've been the 99 left out in the open country, grumbling while that shepherd goes and searches for that one that is lost. Maybe there's many moments in your life when you've thought you're the lost one that has forgotten where he is, forgotten what he's for. At first you may have wandered just for a little curiosity, but now you don't know your way back. I think about these parables, and when I read a parable, I enjoy finding the twist, finding the meaning, finding the godly meaning. And I think in Luke 15, we have the affirmation that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus himself says in Luke 19, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That's richly evident in these parables when you have a shepherd and a woman that go and look for that which has been lost and spending almost more effort in the searching than you would ever think that which they have lost would be worth it. But they expend that effort until they find it, celebrate. It's a story of joy. It's a story of the good news of the gospel that come to us in that promise that God himself has come to look for that which has been lost, that which sin has distorted and broken in this world, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, born of Mary, to come and restore back to himself all those things that have been broken and destroyed. And he comes and he finds it. And though we are lost in our own condition and might not even remember what we are, he remembers what we are, and in those waters of baptism, he calls us children of God because that's what we are, not through what we have done, but because he's found us and claimed us again to be his own. I also enjoy connecting the dots when I look at a parable. Besides looking for that godly meaning that's in there, I like imagining who I am in the parables. As I described how maybe sometimes in your life you've thought of yourself as the shepherd or the 99 or the one that gets lost. And it's interesting that I often, when I read the parables, I think on a first reading, will place myself in the role of the redeemer, the superhero, the one that rescues the story. I think that's probably common of pastors. It's probably common reading for those who have been in the church for a long time to think of themselves as that one that has it all figured out and now selflessly goes to help others. But I wish and I pray for the Spirit to give me a heart of repentance, a heart and wisdom to be able to also see myself in the parables as the one that is broken, one that's lost, and the one that God seeks to find. Because I think it's more honest for myself that I'm not always the redeemer in the story of my own life. More so in my own life, I'm probably more the ones that are being forgotten or forgetting who I am. I think of Luke 14, where we just read last week about the master that wants to throw a great big banquet. He invites people and no one comes. And then he sends out the servant to find the blind, the lame, the crippled, the forgotten in the street corners and the alleys, and fills his banquet with those that others would have dismissed. As you read these kind of parables and you try to connect the dots, I pray that the Spirit gives you the wisdom of humility and that wisdom to be one who hears the words of Jesus and is drawn near to him and to hear him. But sometimes it's hard to recognize ourselves when we're lost. It's hard to remember who we are when we're lost. I have a little bit of a funny story. I printed it out so I could get the details right, because it's one of those stories, as I was telling it to Pastor Whitfield, it's one of those stories where you kind of need a footnote to really believe it's true. Otherwise, you think the pastor's just making up a story for the purpose of his sermon. So it was in The Independent, a British newspaper in August 2012, so it's real. The headline, Missing Icelandic Tourist Goes in Search of Herself. What happened is that there was a bus tour that had arrived to this canyon that has volcanoes, and it's a remote, popular walking area in Iceland. And so the bus driver lets off his load of tourists, and they go on this walking tour. And then as they come back, the bus driver is watching and observing each person as they return to the bus. And he realizes, after waiting for an hour, that a woman has failed up to return. So he alerts the police. They develop search teams. They fan out across the area. Even the people that were on the bus, they get off the bus to search for this woman that has not returned from their tour. But the expedition, the searching, was called off at 3 a.m. after several hours, after it emerged that the woman that had not returned to the bus was in fact in the search party. You ask yourself, how does that happen? Because when the tour bus was watching the people return, he had not noticed that this woman, in her return to the bus, had, before getting on the bus, had decided to change her clothing, refresh herself, put some more makeup on, and change her hair. And then when the description went out to the search parties and the people on the bus for the clothing to look for this lost woman, she had forgotten what she had been wearing earlier in the day, and so did not recognize the description of the lost person. I think about this story and wonder, when God searches for us, and he's looking for the holy, beloved, redeemed children of God that he has created with his very own word, fashioned to be his beauty and his wonder. And we look around and go, well, that's not me. I'm broken. I'm hurting. He must be looking for somebody else. We don't recognize ourselves in what God sees in us. We don't recognize ourselves in what God imagines us to be, in what his word creates us to be. Because we get so used to hearing all those things that others will say about us. We get used to the self-talk we will say to ourselves, and we don't recognize this. And yet Jesus knows us. As a shepherd knows his sheep, he calls us by name. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we hear the shepherd. As we've been lost in the valleys, in the shadows, as grieving and mourning has tarried in the night, and we don't remember what the joy that comes in the morning will look like. And yet then the sun rises, and we see our Savior. When we connect the dots, I pray that we would hear and find ourselves to be among those who are the lost, to hear among ourselves those who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and yet to be the very same ones whom God desires and longs for us to hold in his embrace. This is the gospel in these parables. This is the good news. But as I began the sermon, I said we're going to use Luke 15, verse 1 and 2 to help understand the context. So we've got the tax collectors and the sinners. They were all drawing near to hear him. But there were also the Pharisees and the scribes. And they grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. In many of the parables of Jesus, there is not only a godly meaning that twists our minds to be able to imagine that God's love is more than we can imagine. The parables often also have an indictment, an accusation against those who would be working against God's kingdom, and reminds them that that is not the right direction to be working. And as the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him and to hear him, there is a reminder that in the lost in our parable, there is tremendous transformation. They have been numbered, among the 10 silver coins, have been numbered among the 100 sheep, but then they get lost, they get found, and they get celebrated. In terms of, say, a novel, these are primary characters. They have character development. They transform through the story, as brief as it is. They change. But then there is, in these parables as well, a static group of people that don't change. They're the extra in a movie where, like, if the director is filling a scene and he realizes, all right, we need some extras in the background, he doesn't really care how many he has because you just need somebody back there to look like people walking on a New York street scene or something like that. These are the ones that after 30 years in the immemorium of the Academy Awards, you're like, what movie was he in? It was something. I can't remember what it is. Who are these static characters in this parable? The 99. The 9 silver coins. They don't change. There's nothing about them that transforms and grows. And at the end of each parable, Jesus has these summary statements. He says, just so I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or at the end of the second parable about the lost coin, he says, so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's at this point that I want you to think about a common way that these parables are used to drive the mission of the church. We're the found, and out there in the world are the lost, and we need to go out there and trust that the shepherd is finding them. But I have to let you know that in these parables, the found are not the good guys. I think Jesus identifies the found already, the never lost ones, the static, we don't do anything except stand there ones, as the Pharisees. Who are the tax collectors and sinners are the ones who also have this amazing transformation. They're tax collectors and sinners. They draw near to hear him. They're received and they have table fellowship with the Lord. The tax collectors and sinners, they change, they transform, they grow. The Pharisees and the scribes, through it all, they grumble. They're static. They don't do anything in the story except stay the same. As I was thinking about how I connect myself in these parables and find the dots, I want to be among those that are changed. I want to be numbered among those who are transformed by the work of the Savior. I don't want to just be an audience. I don't want to just be a static person in this world that is just the same through everything. I want to be the one that's honest about my own sin. I'm drawn near to hear this good news, and I'm received by my Savior, and I have fellowship with him. As you think of yourselves in this place in the kingdom of God, you are not just an audience in the kingdom of God. You're not just someone that is statically here with no change. Through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you are drawn to hear him. You are received by him. You have fellowship with him. And if there's a moment when you think you are just an audience in this world, and you haven't changed too much, in that moment, hear the word of God and repent of your sin and turn to your Savior and find out that he is there to receive you. Psalm 84 puts it this way. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The line between the one and the 99. The line between the 1 silver coin and the 9 that are found, it's not non-churched versus churched. It's not between those who are safe and those who are in danger. The line is between those who rejoice at God's work and are drawn near to him and hear him. The line is drawn between those who grumble and need no repentance and their self-righteous punk of an attitude, and those who hear the word of God and are drawn near to him. Remember who you are. You are sinners who have heard the word of God and have been changed. May that be the peace of God which keeps you today. Amen.